that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to echo one of the things that Roger says a lot, God is so good. A few announcements before we begin. First announcement is that we are serving at the Salvation Army this Tuesday. So if you are willing to help out, get a hold of Bernie and let her know. She'll need to know today or tomorrow so she can call it in on Monday night, the number of people that will be serving, so Salvation Army knows what they need to do. Second announcement, for those of you who get the paper, this isn't an announcement, but there's an article in yesterday's paper, which is now the weekend edition of no longer the Virginia paper, it's like the Range paper. Right on the front page, Bill King was named Outstanding Citizen of St. Louis County, and there's a very extensive article that gives a lot of his background, both in basketball and his church, his family, and his education. So I think the weekend edition is available through today somewhere. But anyway, it's posted on.
Is that the free paper?
No. Masabi, or yeah, I guess that's what it's called now. It's posted on the bulletin board downstairs if you would like to take a look at it and read it.
Has anybody talked with Bill?
I haven't talked with Bill. Yeah. Yeah, I can check in with him. Yeah, those are the reports that I've gotten too, is that he's been busy. Next Sunday, we have our quarterly business meeting at 11 o'clock. Everyone is invited to attend, whether you're a member or not. And I guess the last second to the last announcement. We usually had the article from the pastor in the newsletter, which we're not having this summer, so I printed off my article, and it's available in the entryway back there, sort of connected with the message today, so you can critique and compare both. Might be interesting to you. And then the last announcement is I finally bit the bullet and ordered an NIV Bible. So I have an NIV Bible that I'm going to be transitioning to. I wasn't able to today because it just came yesterday. But I'll be transitioning to it, so I'll be speaking in the same language that you speak or read, as the case may be. They're heavy, yes. Oh, maybe that's why, yeah. Yeah, I had to get one I could read. Yeah, some of them come in like 8 font. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, so I guess those are the announcements. Anything that I forgot? All right, well, let's begin our worship time with a call to worship. This Sunday, it is Psalm 23 from the NIV, so it's a little bit different from what I memorized in King James. So would you stand with me and let's read responsively the call to worship. Very familiar to all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing.
He makes me
He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul.
He guides me in paths of righteousness.
For his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff,
they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil.
My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and love will follow me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We're going to be singing with the hymn machine today, and a couple of the songs turn to 225. We're singing that hymn, but to the tune of All the Way My Savior Leads Me, which means that we're going to repeat the last stanza for each verse. So, yet upon the cross extended, we're going to read that line. We're going to sing that line twice because of the tune. So it's not the tune on the page, but it's the words on the page. 225. Here we go. Maybe a little higher in the sound. Jesus refuge of the weary, object of the Spirit's love.
Father God, we come to you today with hearts filled with love for you and worship. We come to you today with hearts filled with love for your Son, our Messiah and Lord Jesus. We come to you today to honor you, our God, righteous, holy, just, true, faithful, filled with love and goodness for us, your people. And so we honor you, we glorify you, we make you first, number one, and foremost in our hearts and minds. Through Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
Our First reading today is from Psalms 89, verses 20 to 37 on page 451 of the Pew Bible. I have found David, my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, "You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior." I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. And the second reading is Mark 6, verses 30 to 34, and then skipping down to verse 53 to 56, and on page 769. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And to verse 53, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed.
In our time for presenting our tithes and offerings, a reminder that the word says that God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever the Lord has laid on your heart to give this morning, do it cheerfully. And today we also are taking an offering for Congo Kids as well. So do that cheerfully also. Let's pray together. Father, we do want to be cheerful givers. And so we give to you for your work and for the glory of your name, cheerfully. We thank you for all that you give to us and how well you take care of us and look after us and help us. And with that in mind, we give not only cheerfully, but out of love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
If you're able, let us stand for our doxology. And there's a little intro.
Seated. In the near future, we're going to be studying prayer. And what I did a couple, probably 3 weeks ago, is I went through Paul's letters and pulled out the prayers that Paul prayed. And so we're going to use one of those prayers today. So if you would pray with me. Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to our church family and friends, we have never stopped thanking you for them. Because of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. Their faith and love spring from the hope that is stored up for them in heaven and the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to them. We thank you, Father, that all over the world this gospel is producing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among them since the day that they heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. For this reason, we have not stopped praying for them and asking you, Father, to fill them with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that they may live a life worthy of our Lord and that they may please you in every way. We pray that they may bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of you, be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might. We pray that they may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to you. Father, because you have qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, we thank you that you have rescued them from the dominion of darkness and brought us all into the kingdom of the Son you love, this Son in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And Father, we pray that for us as well, not just our brothers and sisters, but individually. And we thank you that you, the glorious God, will continue your good work in us until your Son returns and changes everything to make it right. And we thank you for it all. In that name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Turn to 366. May the mind of Christ, my Savior. And we are singing this tune. Thank you.
Yep, still stuck with the New American Standard today. When you see me carrying a brown Bible, that will be the New International Version. I want to thank Jeffrey for coming to bat for us. As you all know, that we've got some variety of accompaniment to our singing. And Jeffrey has offered to help us out whenever he's available when we use the hymn machine, the recorded music, digital music, as you all know. And this week was especially helpful because two of the hymns that were selected in the Covenant Hymnal, I don't know if you know this or not, but in the back of the Covenant Hymnal, there are hymns selected for each Sunday throughout the year. And so I've been trying to use those for reference, not always using them. But this week, two of the hymns were not in the hymn machine. And so Jeffrey and I text each other, conversation, 21st century conversation. And because of his skill in music, and it's just a blessing, I'll just say that. He was able to figure out, and I probably can't even explain this correctly, but figure out other tunes that fit with these two hymns. So the hymns that we used, the words, were the hymns that were selected in the hymnal, and he figured out how to fit another tune to that. And you can tell by my explanation, I have no clue how to do that. But it's really nice to be able to have brothers and sisters who have extra skills available and are willing to help us out as a body, a family here at First Covenant Church. Well, today I'd like to talk about, and you saw the bulletin, and I off and on cringed through the week, God is love, typo, Mike, clarity or confusion?
Well, I thought that one was intentional.
Okay, thank you. As you all know, we have trouble in the English language, and I've talked about that before. It is really important to me to try to get us to think this word. And I'll use an illustration before we get into the message, because we're going to be dealing with it later. In the Old Testament, in English versions that I've had available to me, and I must have, I think, seven now with the NIV version that I've referred to, in the Old Testament, you never read God's name. In the Hebrew, God's name is there. But in the English, you read Lord, most commonly, is what we read in the Old Testament referring to God. In the Hebrew, that word is Yahweh, the name of God. It is so important to me that we know what God's word actually says. And as you probably figured out by now, when I pray to Yahweh and Yeshua, because their names are to be, we're told in the word, their names are to be honored. And when we look at that in the future, we'll talk about why the English version doesn't translate those words literally. There's a history behind it that is interesting to me and a tad bit annoying, because like I say, God's name is to be honored. Well, let's get on with today. Love is the same thing. In the English language, and I'm just going to talk about Mike right here, I love pizza. I love ice cream. I love canoeing. I love being with Kathy. I love God. God loves me. God loves that I love pizza. Wait a minute. Maybe not. I love that I'm able to love. And I think of that country western song. I love this bar, come as you are. Or the TV show, Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And we're sort of like that. Everybody knows your name. Even criminals love. We don't like what they love, but they love. Murderers love. Thieves love. And on and on. What in the world is this English word trying to say? The Hebrew, and we have a few words similar to love, like, or we don't use very often, adore, and other words similar to that. The Hebrew has 9 different words for love that are used in the King James Old Testament, King James Version of the Old Testament. The Greek language, as you know, you've heard probably that the Greek language has 5. Actually, there's 7 words in the Greek language for love. Many of them are used in the New Testament that we have available to us. So since we are confused about love, and I don't mean us. I think we're all very clear what our love for God is. But the world is certainly confused about love. They love everything. Which I probably mean they like everything. But they say love. And I don't exactly know sociologically why that is, why in my lifetime we've transitioned to this generation that they just love everything. Love is attached to everything, whatever it is. I don't know how we got here. But the Bible, the Word of God, has 2 words in it that talk about the love that we should have for God and the love that we should have for each other. One is a Hebrew word used in the Old Testament, ahab. And that Hebrew word is sort of like the word like. But it is used in the Old Testament, you shall ahab the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's also used in the Old Testament in one place, you shall ahab, love your neighbor as yourself. The most common word used in the Greek language, by the way, that Old Testament word was the most common word used in Hebrew, sort of like our word like. The most common word used in the Greek language, unfortunately, was eros. And most of us know what eros refers to. It is that passionate love where we get our English word erotic from. That was the most common word that Greek people used, sort of like our generation now. You just love everything. Kind of difficult for me. But the 2 words that I was referring to that are in the Bible that refer to how we should love God and how we should love one another. In the Old Testament, that word is chesed, or in English, it's easier to say hesed. It's C-H, and you get that guttural sound to it. Hesed. And that Hebrew word means steadfast loving kindness. That word is used only in the Old Testament to apply to the love that God has for us. Steadfast loving kindness. That word is the picture of God's work with the nation of Israel. Steadfast loving kindness. And we have been in church enough to have read many of those stories of the Old Testament. God blesses the Jewish people and they go off and do something funky. And then God blesses them again. And then they go off again. We read some of those miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, all of those miracles in Egypt. And we go, by now, we should have figured out that God is true and we should follow him. And it's just days later and they're in the wilderness and they're filled with doubt and despair and just mad at Moses for leading them out and saying at one point, we should go back to Egypt. It was nicer there. But all the way through, God's hesed, steadfast loving kindness for his people because of his covenant with Abraham, or as we learned last week, his testament with Abraham, the endurance of his love. And in the Old Testament, we're told in Hosea that God loved Israel as a youth in the beginning days, in the early days before they wandered. But then it came to a point where God didn't love Israel anymore. In Hosea. But then in Hosea still, it says that God will love Israel again. Steadfast loving kindness. And I don't know about you, but I feel like what Hosea is trying to describe. In the beginning, I know God loved me, but there were spots in my life where I don't think he did love me. But he hung with me. The Father is so precious to me because of that. His steadfast loving kindness was there after every one of those valleys. And coming out of that valley, what did I find? God's steadfast loving kindness again. I guess that's probably why I am so committed to God and to his son Jesus, is no matter where I've been or what I've been through, when I look up, and sometimes I know I should look up and I don't, but when I do look up, I find God's steadfast loving kindness. So, in the Greek, as you know, that word is agape. That's the mirror word of hesed in the Old Testament. And agape and hesed, according to lexicon that I use, written by Bullinger, is the love which springs from admiration and veneration and which chooses its object with decision of will and devotes a self-denying and compassionate devotion to it with accompanying service to the object of that love. I have mentioned several times, and I apologize because it was sort of a setup, that I don't understand why God loves me. sort of reflecting the psalm, where David says, "Why do you waste your time on us? We're just dust. We're not like you at all." But I follow that today with this: I know God loves me because he has loved me throughout my life, as I illustrated before. He has loved me with admiration and veneration, which chooses its object with the decision of his will and devotes his self-denying and compassionate devotion to me, with accompanying service to me, the object of his love. I recently had an opportunity to attend a funeral. Sometimes it's hard to tell nowadays because there are some cases where there isn't a funeral, so I don't know what the word to use anymore, because sometimes it's a celebration of life and sometimes it's just a committal service, whatever. And it was distressing to me because all that they said, and that's all I could go on because I didn't know the person really well, all that they talked about was this person. Never a mention about God's intervention in this person's life, any devotion, any love for God at all. And I don't know if that person is going to be saved or not, because as you and I know, God's the final judge. But what hit me was the distress of ending one's life without knowing God loves me and I love him. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I think there's another verse in there that starts with, "I love Jesus." And it's those two pieces coming together that result in being born again. And that's why I know God loves me, because I accepted the invitation. And it's been a trip ever since. So this week I thought, along with that, I want to look in this book and I want to look up every place where it says God loves. And I want to find out what that word is after those two words. What does God love? Well, we already know from last week that God loves people. He sent his only son so that people could be redeemed if they choose to. And we know from John 3:16 that God so loved the world. And so, you know, kind of weird that I am, I thought, I'm going to look that word up, world. And I'm going to see what world means. Because all my life, and as an evangelist, I used John 3:16. And the way I used it is God loves people. Because to me, that was the valuable thing of the world. I mean, we have beautiful nature and everything around us, but God sent Jesus to save people. So I looked up that word and I found out it's not people. In fact, that Greek word doesn't mean earth. What that Greek word is, and you'll get it right away, that Greek word is cosmos. And that Greek word means every single created thing, everything that God has created. God loved his creation so much that he sent his only Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so it reminded me of that New Testament passage where it says, even nature is groaning for the redemption of the sons of men. And now this is Mike's interpretation, so you can take it or leave it. Mike's interpretation is sin has infected God's creation, and everything is waiting for us to fall down on our knees before our Father God in the name of Jesus. Everything is waiting, watching us, people, to come to that point. And when Jesus returns, completes his 1,000-year reign on earth, and time as we know it ends, what's going to happen? God creates a new heaven, universe, and a new earth, and a new Jerusalem, because the old one has passed away because of the infection of sin. That's Mike's interpretation. And you can look up those verses and kind of figure out your own. John 10, well, let me get to this first. So I'm looking up, and I only find five things in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that it says God loves. We've covered two of them already, people and the world. In the Old Testament, occurring many times, it says God loves justice and righteousness. So in the New Testament, we have God is love. And in the Old Testament, it says God loves justice and righteousness, which again is that thing that we have to pair with our 21st century conversation, I guess you'd call it, where everybody's saying, God is love, so I can do anything I want. No, God loves justice and righteousness. And so God is love, yes, but he loves justice and righteousness. So that's what we have to do. That's what we have to point toward. That was the third thing, justice and righteousness. And I'm sorry because there's two things packaged in there, but they're packaged together. So maybe that's the third and fourth thing. The next one that we find abundant in the New Testament is God loves his Son. Over and over repeated. God loves his Son. Sometimes when I'm praying, often when I'm praying, and I'm addressing the Father, as Paul did in a couple places in his writing, thank you for Jesus. You are the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom you are well pleased. Spoken at the time that Jesus was baptized. God loves his Son. There are times when I'm praying to Jesus and I say something like, thank you for your abundant love for your Father that carried you through. You loved the Father so much that it carried you through to the point my God, why have you forsaken me? Past that point carried you through when you knew God had forsaken you because of the atonement of sins for the world. Your love for your Father carried you through all the way to the throne in heaven. That love that Jesus had for the Father just astounds me. And then the last thing I found that God loves is he loves his own. Paul calls it us. God loves us in his letters to believers. God loves us. And I know I've toyed with that thing a little bit. I don't know why God loved me. I still don't know why, specifically me. But I know that God loves everyone waiting for one thing, and that is the choice point. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Choice point, that whoever, King James, whosoever, believes on him, that's the choice point. And so I've left that reason sort of with God and just said, I choose. Don't know the reason, can't figure it all out, I just choose. So when someone says to me, God is love, first thing that happens is, what do you mean? What do you mean that God is love? And so sometimes I ask, what do you mean? What does that mean to you that God is love? Sometimes I don't get an answer. They're sort of like stunned. And I understand that because we just use that so freely. But it gives an opportunity then to tell that person what it means to me. God is love. Clarity or confusion? I don't know. For some people, but I know this for me. Clear as the nose on your face, right? God is love. God loves me. I love God. Amen.
Tom T. Hall's I Love Little Baby Ducks. That's what made me think of that. We are going to sing 532, and we're not singing the tune. We're singing it to Amazing Grace, because the hymn machine doesn't have
right.
That shanty or CM in it, or shanty it doesn't have, but it's one of the options. We're going to sing all seven verses. This is the story. This is a story full of love. To Amen. Amazing Grace and Amen. Intro.
Oh,
now shall we sing the blessing to one another. And I don't think we have that.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you, give you, give you.